and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, Steph people. This is Chris Lavoie. I am Steph's producer, and she has called in sick today. So this hour, at least, we have a great best of for you. It features Ron Reagan. Enjoy.
One of my barren ovaries. Like an old saloon in there.
Yeah. It's up on your Facebook
page, too. It's always
nice
to get that call on Valentine's Day from your gyno that
you're barren. Your womb is a rocky place where nobody's seed can find any purchase.
Especially there wasn't a lot of chance of that Cage. Happening anyway, but okay. All right. We have lots to get to. Our buddy, our pal, Ron Reagan joins us now. Ron, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I miss you since our last face-to-face, I think, in Seattle.
Are you out of cast yet?
I am out of... I think you carried me somewhere or pushed my wheelchair or something.
No, I did. That's true. I did. I pushed your wheelchair for a little bit. It was quite an honor.
Well, I have to tell you, I've seen you talking about your book, and it really, I have to say, seems like such a loving book about your dad. It is called My Father at 100, a memoir.
Yes, it is. Yes, I would say it's a loving sort of memoir. It's a curious sort of memoir. I was interested in going back into his deep past and figuring out just who is this guy that was my dad for all these years. You know, those of us who knew him very well were quite aware that he had a sort of central core that was not always easy to get to.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I mean, obviously, we all heard about this spat you had with your brother, which, trust me, I know from interfamily political spats.
Yeah, he was doing most of the spatting. I was just trying to kind of clean up the mess he left behind. I guess I send him a thank you note for increasing sales.
Yeah.
In his enthusiasm to promote the book, though, he neglected to read it, which led to some misunderstanding.
Yes, that right away, I guess, can be a problem. But, you know, I saw you on one show, and I can't remember, but you were saying that there was something in particular you had said about your dad, and you said you meant it in a way like he was almost too good to be true, like in the sense that, personality-wise, you said he just didn't have a mean bone. He wouldn't gossip about people. I guess that's what you were trying to...
That's true. Yeah, well, I say in the book that those of us who knew him very well would agree that he was one of the strangest people we'd ever met, but not in a dark, creepy way,
right.
by any means. In fact, he was almost too good. In just a sort of personal sense. This isn't a book about politics,
right.
So we can argue about his politics, you know, some other time.
Sure.
But as a character, yeah, he was like bizarrely guileless and had no cynicism in him, and really was almost weirdly good that way. He never gossiped as a guy. I mean, he's a kind of a big physical guy. I never heard him bluster at all. He was never one of these guys who came home and said, "Oh, you know, I could have kicked his ass if I, you know." Blah blah blah. Never, not once.
Right.
It was almost weird.
Well, it's an interesting take. I mean, obviously, so much has been said and written about your dad, but you know, someone that knew him not as an advisor or friend or a colleague, but you know, to actually have grown up with him. I mean, it describes him as a man who was warm yet remote, a man of almost legendary affability who had virtually no close friends besides his wife in later life, a man who reveled in public display yet remained intensely private. Interesting dichotomy, huh?
Yes, well, he was definitely a man of paradox, and I think that the place to look for the beginnings of that paradoxical character, of course, were in his early life, and that's why I decided on the cusp of his 100th birthday to go looking way, way back, you know, starting before his birth with his family's history, but then back to 1911, which, as it turns out, is really a long, long time ago. I mean, when you look at pictures from back then, I found pictures of his first hometown, Tampico, Illinois, around the time he was born. There are no cars on the streets. It's all horse-drawn carts and carriages on a dirt street. You know, this is the world that he was born into, and this is the world that shaped his character.
What, I mean, obviously when you went back through this whole, you know, his childhood and past, I mean, what surprised you the most about his, formative years, would you say?
Well, he was a very lonely little boy, I think. You know, we think of him now as being very confident and, you know, sort of this big, robust fellow. But as a child, he was undersized, and his family moved around a lot. And so he was always the new kid in school. He was picked on by bullies a lot. He was chosen last for games in the playground, and he began spending a lot of time by himself in his own head. He was very nearsighted, too, so, you know, much of the world was kind of a smudgy blur until he was a young teenager. So he would kind of spend time up in attics of rented houses they had, or out in these fields, or by creeks and things, you know, in these the environs of his childhood, dreaming this dream of his own life to come, this dream of himself as a hero. He became fascinated by the West at a very early age because of some artifacts he'd found left behind in one of these attics that he would spend time in. And he began dreaming about being a hero in the West, in the, you know, out in the Wild West in this open landscape. He would see movies, too, as a kid, and then see, you know, Tom Mix Westerns, and this idea planted in his head. But he was very much an internally directed little guy.
What would we be most surprised to learn about your dad? I mean, just as we just knew him as the president, I don't know what your favorite memories are or anything like that, but...
The extreme gentleness of his character, actually. I know that some of us on the left tend to think of him as this kind of cruel guy who is out to, you know, kind of do in the poor and the underprivileged and all of that. You know, again, we can argue about policy all we want, but as a person, as a man, he was one of the most soft-hearted, sentimental, soft-touch kind of guys you'd ever want to meet. Hated interpersonal conflict, hated any kind of interpersonal strife at all.
What do you think he'd think of the Tea Party?
I think he would be, you know, I mean, we can say that he's a low-tax, small-government kind of guy, so he might be sympathetic to some of those goals, but I think he would be very distressed by the kind of vitriol that he hears emerging from that, you know, that corner of the political playing field.
Speaking of vitriol, you know, talked about your dad's Alzheimer's in the book and then got all this blowback from not just your brother but people on the right for something that seemed, I think, fairly obvious to a lot of people, that, you know, clearly Alzheimer's is a progression that obviously started...
Yes, I think that the mistake some people make is they hear Alzheimer's, the disease, and they think dementia, the symptom. You know, there's no, in one sentence in the entire book, I simply observe that given what we know now about Alzheimer's, as you said, it's a progression that takes decades before symptoms arise. And given that he was diagnosed a few years out of office, clearly the disease must have been present in him. That's not to say that he was suffering from dementia while he was in office. I do say that there were occasions during his term when I would worry about him sometimes. I would wonder, you know, is everything all right? Is he, you know, is he kind of healthy and you know, 100% and all? But that, you know, I don't attach the name Alzheimer's to those worries. I didn't at the time, and I can't now. It would be mere speculation. And we have to remember, this is a guy in his mid-70s by the time I started having these worries. He'd been shot and nearly killed by that time.
Yeah.
That'll take a little steam out of you.
So. Ron, let me ask you all the questions that I'm asked as the child of a famous Republican father who turned out left-wing. What happened to you? What happened to you? When did you develop your politics? And what? Well, further than that, I need to know how you deal with the interfamily, because I'm in the middle of one right now.
This interfamily thing with the, you know, with Michael and all, I really don't deal with it all directly with him. Mike and I don't really speak much, so I just sort of ignore that and try and correct the record where I can. You know, as far as how I became a kind of lefty, I'm not really sure, but I don't think it's that uncommon for, yeah, I mean, look at you.
This is the point I'm making about the Eisenhowers and Goldwaters. I'm like, Mom, I'm not the only one.
No, it's true. We're not the only, especially for kids, people like us who grew up in the 60s, 70s, you know, that sort of thing. You know, come on, this was pretty common.
We're kind of weirdly connected. I mean, you know, as you know, your dad gave the speech that, you know, is thought to have launched his career for my dad in Goldwater in 64.
That's right.
You know, there's obviously a lot of through lines there. But this is what I've said, Ron, is, you know, we're not the only people saying this is not my dad in Goldwater's or even Reagan's party anymore. I mean,
no.
I feel like it's not even George Bush's party. Like, you know, this new breed of whatever this is. his tea party or whatever, right?
Yeah, he would have gotten, my father, I'm sure, would have gotten off the bus when they started, holding up the START treaty, the new START
treaty,
for instance. You know, he was all about getting rid of nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And the thought that that people would sort of game that, would hold this up just to score some political points.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he would have wanted to reach out from the grave and pinch John Kyle's head off.
this is what we're saying. You can't even, as a Republican, even hint at comprehensive immigration reform, and your dad gave amnesty to millions.
Program. Yeah, he also signed one of the most liberal abortion laws in the country when he was when he was governor of California, and raised taxes 7 out of 8 years he was president.
I know.
But, those things get kind of lost.
Well, but he was about compromise, right, Ron? And that's the thing they're missing on in the Republican Party today.
To say if I can get 80% of what I want, that's a great thing, and I'll take it. You know.
I don't know if you saw Larry Korb's piece today, but he talked about, he called, your dad's foreign policy progressive, by today's standards.
I think by the standards of let's go invade countries that, pose no threat to us. Yeah, I would say I don't recall any major wars while he was president. Grenada doesn't really count,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
He was horrified by the idea of putting young Americans, or anybody else for that matter, in harm's way for no really good reason.
Well, think how he would have been called a cut and runner for making the decision, which I think was correct, that, as Corey says, he did a cost-benefit analysis and realized the potential costs of continuing involvement. So he obviously
pulled the Marines out after the barracks was bombed. Yeah, it was. I've got our young people in harm's way. They're in the middle of somebody else's civil war. That's clearly not where they ought to be.
Yeah.
Let's get them out of there before something else happens. This all goes back to him being a lifeguard. That was his persona throughout life, as I point out in the book. It was really lifeguard, and that's why he wanted to get rid of nuclear weapons. He used the phrase in a debate with Walter Mondale, we have to save the world.
And in the era of new bipartisan civility, may I say, your dad kind of a hottie in those original bathing suit photos.
Yes, you noticed that, didn't you? He was kind of a hunky fellow.
As are you, Ron. It's just a pleasure to talk to you again. And miss you. I miss you on the old progressive radio circuit. I hope I can see you again soon.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate it. I tune into you whenever I'm out driving around in my car at this time.
It's fabulous. Well, listen, I need more of a commitment than that. I need at home, on the computer. I need everywhere.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Yeah, all right.
The book is My Father at 100, a memoir. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There he goes. Ron Reagan.
He's delightful.
Yeah.
He is delightful. Just in time for the Ronald Reagan Forever stamp that's been unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
this is just thinking. Permanent Reagan administration?
Well, no, pretty much all stamps are forever stamps.
I was just going to say, I don't think there's been nearly enough said about Reagan. It's just days after what would have been the 40th president's 100th birthday, the stamp affixed with the new forever Christ denomination was unveiled during another ceremony at the Ronald Reagan. This is his third? Yeah, it's his third stamp. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, much more to go as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh. Stephanie Miller. Justin Bieber, you're such a scamp.
This isn't Justin Bieber. This is
kidding.
Fat Joe featuring Nelly.
Stephanie Miller. Yeah. Not Fat Nelly Joe. That's a different guy.
No, that's totally different guy.
Mm.
He's in West Hollywood.
All right. 23 minutes after the hour. Get up. Get it popping. Here we go. All right. President, at the press conference, we join it live.
Good headline on the first day. My goal is that a year from now or 2 years from now, people look back and say, you know what? We actually started making progress on this issue. This was the same criticism people had right after the midterm election. If you had polled the press room and the conventional wisdom in Washington after the midterm, the assumption was there's no way we were going to end up getting a tax deal that got the majority of both Democrats and Republicans. It was impossible. right? And we got it done. So this is not a matter of you go first
Mother.
Or I go first.
I got this.
Yeah.
This is a matter of everybody having a serious conversation about where we want to go and then ultimately getting in that boat at the same time so it doesn't tip over. And I think that can happen. Juliana Goldman. There you are.
Thank you, Mr. President. Uh-huh. Your budget relies on revenue from tax increases to multinational corporations that ship jobs overseas and on increases on oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
You've been calling on this for years. And if you couldn't get it through a Democratic Congress, why do you think you'll be able to get it through now? And also, doesn't it blunt your push for deficit-neutral corporate tax reform?
Well, I continue to believe I'm right. So we're going to try again. I think what's different is everybody says now that they're really serious about the deficit. Well, if you're really serious about the deficit, not just spending, but you're serious about the deficit overall, then part of what you have to look at is unjustifiable spending through the tax code.
Yes.
Tax breaks that do not make us more competitive, do not create jobs here in the United States of America. And the two examples you cite, I think most economists would look at it and they'd say, these aren't contributing to our long-term economic growth. And if they're not, why are we letting some folks pay lower taxes than other folks who are creating jobs here in the United States
Thank you.
And are investing? Why are we not investing in the energy sources of the future,
Amen.
Just the ones in the past?
Amen.
Particularly if the energy sources of the past are highly profitable right now and don't need a tax break.
Hallelujah. Testify.
So I think what may have changed is if we are going to get serious about deficit reduction and debt reduction, then we've got to look at all the sources of deficit and debt.
See, he listens to the show before he does these.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I've been saying all morning.
Yeah,
and
just trying
Jeff
to pick and choose and getting 100% of our weight. The same is true, by the way, for Democrats. I mean,
he knows it's a wise investment in his future.
Exactly. It's as wise as high-speed rail.
Are hard for me to take. You've got cities around the country and states around the country that are having a tremendously difficult time trying to balance their own budgets.
Wisconsin.
Fallen
yeah.
revenue.
Texas.
They've got greater demands because folks have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
The housing market is still...
Places, ironically, run by Republicans.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of these places. And yet... Part of what this budget says is we're going to reduce community development block grants by 10%. That's not something I'd like to do, but and if it had come up a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have said no. Under these new circumstances, I'm saying yes to that. And so my expectation is that everybody is going to have to make those same sorts of compromises. Now, with respect to corporate tax reform, the whole concept of corporate tax reform is to simplify, eliminate loopholes,
yes.
treat everybody fairly.
Mm-hmm.
That is entirely consistent with saying, for example, that we shouldn't provide special treatment to the oil industry when
what?
They've been making huge profits
uh-huh.
and can afford to further invest in their
Socialism.
Companies without special tax breaks that are different from what somebody else gets.
Exactly.
Well,
Kenyanism.
What is absolutely
Kenyanism.
True is that
this is
it's going to be difficult to achieve serious corporate tax reform if the formula is lower our tax rates and let us keep all our special loopholes.
That came right from the Muslim Brotherhood handbook.
We're not going to get it done. I wouldn't sign such a bill, and I don't think the American people would sign such a bill. If you're a small business person out on Main Street and you're paying your taxes... and you find out that you've got some big company with billions of dollars and far-flung businesses all across the world, and they're paying a fraction of what you're paying in taxes, you know, you'd be pretty irritated.
That
and rightfully
never happen.
So. And so the whole idea of corporate tax reform is, yes, let's lower everybody's rates so American businesses are competitive with businesses all around the
yep.
world.
And close the loopholes. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you make me spill my wine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're joined now by our good friend Craig Griffin of ITM Trading. Lots of talk about the economy in the press conference, the budget and all that. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Steph. How are you?
I enjoyed having you and your lovely wife over to my house, I have to tell you, first of all.
Well, it was really nice of you to have us over, and it was very beautiful, and it was a really enjoyable morning as well. So
well, because a lot of times people say, you know, do you really use the products that you talk about? I'm like, yes, I have beautiful Double Eagle gold coins brought to my house personally by Craig Griffin, which we can't promise everybody, right?
That's right.
But, you know, it's interesting. You and I had a conversation about, you know, people like Glenn Beck have given some gold, you know, sellers a bad name because he sort of weaves it into all these weird conspiracy theories, like presently with the, you know, Egyptian Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood and caliphates and whatever. I buy gold because it's a good investment. Is that the wrong reason to buy gold?
Well, there's a perception out in the world that, you know, gold is the antithesis of the stock market and the economy. And the stock market, by the way, is the economy. But if we were to go back to October 9th of 2002, for instance, the stock market had been in a downward spiral since the beginning of 2000. And on October 9th of 2002, the Dow closed at 7286.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the bottom for that move. And from there, the Dow began to climb, and it climbed all the way to 14,164 by the time we got to October 9th of 2007, exactly 5 years to the date, which is somewhat interesting. So the Dow climbed from 7,286 to 14,164, which was an increase of 94.4%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, during that same period of time, for instance, on October 9th, 2002, gold was $319.70. And by the time we got to March 17th, gold had gone, of 2008, I should say, gold had gone to $1,250, an increase of 213% during almost that same period of time within about a three-month period. So while we saw the economy perking along during that period, gold actually went up more than double what the Dow went up, and the Dow had climbed 94%.
Well,
so I guess you could call it an investment from that standpoint.
Well, Craig, you know, I think why I like talking about it is because I think you don't even need to be an expert to go, this is a weird economy. I mean, you know, look at the housing market. You know, real estate, they used to be the best investment, the most, you know, and look at what's happened there. I mean, I can't tell you how many friends I have whose houses are underwater. You know,
right.
So in terms of if you have an investment portfolio, it seems to me like that's just, it makes good sense for that to be part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, although we don't call gold an investment, we really call it an insurance hedge because during that same period of time, you know, the dollar had gone down. The dollar's gone down over 35% and struggling in this area to hold support, you know, as we speak, from breaking to new lows, although we have come off of that in the last couple of weeks. And so it is definitely just it's a hedge against uncertainty. But, you know, gold's taking on the role of a currency these days. If we went back to 2001, you know, when the dollar was at 121.50 and today we're around 78, and gold went from, you know, 300 range to where it is today, gold is up about five times what it was during that period of time, and so the dollar really, in essence, has maybe lost. This is an arguable fact, but it's close. Maybe five times its purchasing power since 2001.
Right.
So, you know, the gold is simply reflecting a loss of purchasing power in the dollar.
Yeah, I think the point is it's just an uncertain time economically for a lot of people, and you don't have to fearmonger like some of our friends on the right do about why you know you make certain investments. So, and I want to take a second to thank you, because I know that you've supported a lot of our progressive shows for a long time, and our listeners like to support people that support us. So, and I, I think we should also point out you have the top rating from the Better Business Bureau, and you know, I think I got a little annoyed at people giving buying gold a bad name, some of our friends on the right, when you know, I just think that what you guys do over at ITM Trading is really good. 1-888-OWN-GOLD, correct the number?
Right, and you know, Jim Rickard is on our website. We have a interview there with Jim Rickard, and Jim Rickard's like an insider, and I'm telling you that, you know, this guy is brilliant. I studied the markets. Jim is brilliant. And Jim talks about gold going to $5,000 to $7,500 an ounce just based on eighth grade math. And we don't have time to go into this total interview, but I'd recommend that people go and listen to that interview and listen to Jim's credentials and look him up on the internet.
What's the website?
It's www.itmtrading.com.
Terrific. Craig, we appreciate it. We've got to go back to the President's Press Conference. Thanks so much for always, as always, for your time.
Thanks, Steph.
All right. There he goes, Craig Griffin.
Yay!
1-888-OWN-GOLD. And it has nothing to do with the caliphate, why you should buy...
No.
They're beautiful, my Double Eagle gold coins. All right, let's check back in with the press conference, see what the President...
Adverse effect on our economic recovery. It'd be destabilizing at a time when I think everybody is hopeful that we can start growing this economy quicker. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation. But the key here is for people to be practical and not to score political points. That's true for all of us.
The Republicans are down with that.
I think if we take that approach, we can navigate the situation short term and then deal with the problem long term. With respect to Mr. Davis, our diplomat in Pakistan, we've got a very simple principle here that every country in the world that is party to the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations has upheld in the past and should uphold in the future. And that is, if our diplomats are in another country, then they are not subject to that country's local prosecution. We respect it with respect to diplomats who are here. We expect Pakistan, that's a signatory, and
all right,
recognize...
We will check back in. Mitch McLiplis, as you can imagine, Jim, not down with the new budget plan.
This budget abdicates the future. It spends too much, taxes too much, and borrows too much. It says that the president does not have the will or the ability to do what we need to do with the money that we have.
Well, just give it all to me, and I'll spend it for you. Because, you know, I'm very frugal. I live on lettuce, as you know. I don't have a fancy terrarium.
No.
This is business as usual at a time when bold and creative solutions are needed.
For example,
this is not an I got the message budget. It's unserious and it's irresponsible.
Wow. Not nearly as responsible as blindly swinging a meat axe, as one economist called their budget.
Yep. Oh, are you okay over there?
It's unserious.
Yes.
These are serious times. We need serious people to solve our problem.
A meat axe is very serious.
We have serious problems to solve.
All right, don't do it to him. Jim can't take one more.
Yeah, I can't either.
All right. Paul Ryan with his meat axe.
People eat the lettuce.
Our problem is we are running out of road to keep kicking this can down. And so what did we just get today? We got a punt. The president punted on the budget, and he punted on the deficit and on the debt. That's not leadership. That's an abdication of leadership.
Yes. Why can't we hurt poor people and women and children more, for God's sakes?
Why can't we play kick the can more?
Yes.
Huh?
It would be better doing nothing than if we would actually pass this budget for the sake of our economy, for the sake of our future, and for the sake of jobs. If we keep punting like this budget does, then there will come a moment where it is too late.
Oh, shush. There's compromise for you. We should do nothing. We're not doing anything.
He's a bit of a whiner, isn't he, that Ryan guy?
Oh, boy, boy. Okay. Oh, can I have some love music, please? We finally got an answer to the kids and Valentine's, what the policy is. You had some forced socialistical, you have to give everyone a Valentine policy.
Everybody had to give everybody else a Valentine.
Yeah, I had to do that in mine.
But you went to school in Germany.
Well, no, there was no Valentine's Day.
Oh.
I was in Catholic school. You were on your own.
Well, that's weird because St. Valentine is a Catholic saint, and so...
There was no forced.
Wow.
Yeah. Lisa on Kids and Valentine's, we had a huge argument at my house over the kindergartner's Valentine's. The rule was to give all or none. Mm-hmm. My toothless redneck truck driver husband declared that our son should not give Valentine's to the boys because it might make him gay, and giving same-sex Valentine's was icky. So the rest of the household responded, number one, you're an idiot. These are G-Force dollar valentines that say, be my friend. Number two, so my son thought nothing of it. Indeed, his favorite valentine was from a boy. It was his favorite because Bumblebee the Transformer was on it.
Who wouldn't love Bumblebee the Transformer?
Yes, and nothing to do with who gave it to him. Adults hang-ups teach the kids to look for all that extra nonsense. Finally, admitting his error, my husband presented me with a card that read, thank you for loving me even when I'm a poopy head. All right. That's a beautiful Valentine's Day.
I think they didn't emphasize St. Valentine in Catholic school because it could lead to sex.
Dirty sex. There's a direct line there from construction paper to
fornication.
Doing the nasty, absolutely.
Ours were all store-bought, really cheap ones. You know, the cartoon characters of the day, like Dinomutt and... No thanks.
All right. Hillary Clinton on what is happening in Iran.
We would call to account the Iranian government that is once again using its security forces and resorting to violence to prevent the free expression of ideas from their own people.
What should we do, John Bolton? Oh, I thought so. Hillary Clinton.
What we see happening in Iran today is a testament to the courage of the Iranian people and an indictment of the hypocrisy of the Iranian regime.
That's one to keep our eye on, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes. No foreign policy expert but I'm just saying that one seems... All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Jim, crotchety old person discussion alert. Lady Gaga just topped Billboard's list of acts that generated the most income for 2010. She earned $30.5 million last year for that songwriting for Gaga.
It's actually a very, very good song.
I'm just saying songwriters not what they used to be.
Hoagy Carmichael.
$30 million.
Yeah, what hits are the Doobie Brothers putting out nowadays? Come on.
Okay.
When was the last time the Rolling Stones had a hit?
$30 million.
A couple years ago.
A hit?
See, there you go.
A hit or an album? That they put out.
By the way,
I like that new group that you just won the Grammy, because as you know, yesterday, Valentine's Day, Chris, it was 1:15, and I was a little drunk, although mine in the middle of the afternoon.
Yes, because the song assumes that it's in the, you know, 1:15 in the morning.
Well, but they assume people that don't go to bed at
stupid o'clock.
And get up at
insane o'clock.
Thanks.
Yeah, Lady Antebellum is there.
All
yes.
Right. How do you say her name now, the TikTok girl?
Kesha.
Kesha. She tells Vanity Fair she brushes her teeth with Jack Daniels. Mm. Oh, no, you
sure
don't.
Well, that was the opening line of her first song, TikTok.
Yes.
That she brushes her teeth with Jack. And
yes, and she said that it's antibacterial and better than morning breath. And I think she's just trying to sound cool and pop music-y.
I can't stand Kesha. Everything she does is auto-tune within an inch of its life, and she tries to put on this fake persona of being a dirty party girl, mm-hmm. when in fact she is absolutely not she is a suburban girl from Nashville.
I do brush my teeth with Chardonnay, just so you know, just for the Stephanie Miller Show fun facts. I'm not trying to be a dirty party girl, I am.
Even her persona is auto-tuned.
Yes, her persona is completely auto-tuned.
Well, this is exciting, Jim. A German cross-eyed opossum will pick the Oscar winners.
The Academy's work is done here.
Yeah.
Germany's celebrity cross-eyed opossum, Heidi, has been recruited by Hollywood.
Why are there no films about cross-eyed opossums?
Heidi will appear on Jimmy Kimmel Live to predict the Oscar winners. Her celebrity grew into an international sensation, echoing the global fame of the late octopus Paul. Yes. Who predicted the World Cup? Yeah, he correctly tipped each of Germany's World Cup soccer matches.
And the final game between Holland and Spain. He got that one right, too.
Although, you know, there's a lot of arms. He may have been pointing to something else that looked, you know, I mean, because you kind of could.
No, he had to open a box.
Oh,
actually,
really?
And, yeah.
Okay.
And
it wasn't like he was pointing at something.
No, he was actually
saying,
something
which
out
arm?
Of the box.
Oh, well, that arm was pointing at the right thing. cross-eyed opossum. Oh, boy. All right. Well, you know, Ron Christie's right once in a while. All right.
Stop
come
it.
On. Hey, come on.
Gladly the cross-eyed bear.
Exactly. So I saw the headline. I got all excited that Tiger Woods did something disgusting. I'm like, oh, more disgusting than the story about taking a woman's Tampax out in a parking lot. And I don't know, whatever that whole... No, he's just spit on a green, on a putting green.
You got to find a huge amount of money
yes,
for that.
Yes, and the European Tour got all prissy and fined him. I was like,
well,
compared to
gross.
Everything else he's done?
Wasn't it in Dubai or something like that? You're just not allowed
I
to
spit every day on my hike. In fact, a guy the other day went
dude.
Nice. He went nice one. I was like, sorry. I didn't see anybody. Yes, I sometimes get, you know, when you're exercising.
You have no manners.
Listen, I got a standing ovation from the chat room yesterday for my burp when I was recording commercials after the show.
Yeah, that you did.
You had to play it back for them. They were so impressed.
Yes. I auto-tuned it. Just like Kesha. To make you sound like a dirty party girl.
Oh, I don't know if he's going to need the squeezy music for this, but does Barbara Walters have the hots for Jennifer Aniston? Not maybe the girl-on-girl you were hoping for, Jim, but...
No. Barbara Walters?
She brought up the fact that Aniston wears a bikini in her new movie, Just Go With It. Walters said, I mean, the body's gorgeous. The body is gorgeous. Wow.
Really gorgeous.
Wow.
Go so far as to say delicious.
Joy Behar said, we always tease her. She's a big lesbian. Doesn't know it. Walter said, not true. Bisexual, whatever. Aniston just said, you just got outed on The View. Walter said, if I were going to, it might be ho. If I were going to go with it, it might be.
You just gave me an image of a naked Barbara Walters that I really didn't need in my head.
I apologize. I just wanted to sit lesbian. Okay. Oh, dear. Sue, Sue normally in Rockville, writes from Tel Aviv. Steph, night flight D.C. to Frankfurt, not one, not two, but three, not three, but four babies on Screaming Baby Airlines. Oh, that's a long flight.
Wow.
I finally figured out, like a relay race, this was a coordinated 4x1 hour Screaming Baby Marathon. Instead of them passing a baton, one would scream for an hour, then pass the scream baton to the next one. They do seem to be, you know what? That's a caliphate. That is some sort of creepy, that's... They've been infiltrated, I think, by the Muslim Brotherhood.
They have like a,
because there is some kind of code.
Or maybe it's like a time card. So, morning, Sam. You want to hit the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, your turn.
Okay, you're
by
it.
The fourth hour, I thought I would go out a la Stephen Smith but with a parachute, grab a chute, wrestle open an emergency hatch, grab a six-pack. I mean, dropping into the Atlantic in the middle of night, how much worse could it be? But I chickened out. I'm now in Israel with 25 members of my family who hold at least 30 different opinions, and I'm afraid to come home. What should I do? Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan, Stephanie, I don't know, sir.
These are not the screaming babies you're looking for.
I don't know. Right when relatives screaming babies, I don't know.
I got a tweet yesterday from someone saying that he was sitting at Screaming Baby Panera Bread.
Yeah.
Restaurants like that tend to have screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, they even have baby. You can't escape them. There's babies in bars now, as you know.
Yeah.
With guns.
Look at you. You have a baby.
In a bar.
Yeah. Yay! Andrew Breitbart got served with a lawsuit. At least something else fun happened at CPAC. By Shirley Sherrod, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yay for her. She's the former agriculture department employee who lost her job because of that video that he edited to look like she had discriminated against a white farmer when the reality was Jim? The opposite of that. Mr. Breitbart said he categorically rejects the transparent effort to chill his constitutionally protected free speech.
Right.
You're free to speak, but we're free to call you out and sue you when you lie and destroy someone's reputation.
I've constitutional
shoddy journalism, free speech. Shoddy journalism.
I hope he won't be invited on Bill Maher's show anymore.
Oh, I know.
Someone in the chat room just says they hope Breitbart's mugshot looks like Nick Nolte's.
All right. We should post this piece. Hang on. Where is it? Because we had Ron Reagan on today, and I thought this was a great piece by our friend Larry Korb. He says, recently I appeared on CNBC to discuss the crisis in Egypt. I received an email from a listener asking how someone who served 5 years in the Reagan administration could now work at a progressive liberal think tank like the Center for American Progress. The answer is pretty simple. Reagan was much more of a progressive than many of those celebrating his 100th birthday now admit, particularly those who supported the policies of the administration of George W. Bush. Like Obama, Reagan was against dumb wars. He resisted pressure from conservative members of his party to send some 25,000 troops to Central America to thwart what they claimed was an imminent Soviet communist expansion into that area. You know, then he talks about Lebanon, which we talked to Ron Reagan about, one after another, you know, the deficit, tax cuts. It's just, it is amazing, all these people claiming the Reagan mantle that don't really believe in anything that he actually did. All right, for us.
What was I thinking?
Hump Days with Hal Sparks is tomorrow. Yeah. Yay! I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not really.
No, not really feeling good.
You may be walking on sunshine. Yeah. I'm hungover and tired and completely unprepared.
And I spent a weekend in Vegas, so I have no idea what's been going on in the
news.
And
you have no money.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So this is the Stephanie Great. Miller Show. This is Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward. Stephanie is not here today because she called in sick just before the show. So we had a best of show on for the first hour, and then it's going to be you and me.
I could have called in drunk, I suppose, but that'd be bad form.
That would be bad
form. Well, we're hoping we have lots of calls.
Yes.
Because
so give us a call.
We got nothing.
At 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. And also, Edie McClurg is going to be joining us in studio for hour three.
Yay. So we really have to do anything this for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then we can leave when Edie comes in. Right. Yeah. And she can push all the buttons do her commentaries.
Well, she has that that radio background. She started out in NPR radio in Kansas City.
She knows how to edit tape with a razor blade.
I know. I still know how to edit tape with a razor blade. And
I still have scars on my fingers.
Yeah.
I've got blisters on my fingers.
What do you want to talk about? what's going on in the news?
There was, I was listening to Bill Press this morning, and Jim Hoffa was on there talking about this new Mexican truck deal.
Yeah, remember someone was talking about that on Friday.
Yeah. This is something that's been going on since before NAFTA, even. Under NAFTA, the borders do open to cross-border trucking, but concerns about the safety of Mexican trucks block the provisions implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And under the deal, which still faces congressional scrutiny, obviously,
right.
The U.S. would allow Mexican trucks that comply with stringent safety standards. Who's going to be making that evaluation?
Is that going to be the Mexican government or is that going to be the American government?
But in return, Mexico would lift tariffs imposed on U.S. goods in retaliation for flouting the NAFTA provision.
Okay, that's fine. So American companies can make more money, but American people may be more at risk from shoddy Mexican trucks.
And there's also the thing, I think John Fugelsang was talking about this, but that now things can be imported through Mexico and then taken by truck into the United States, which could make an end run around our own longshore.
Exactly. In fact, I think the Mexican government is building a port up at the very top of the Gulf of California.
Right.
And
so
Yuma is going to be a major entry port into the United States from that port.
And I'm guessing non-union workers will be...
Non-American workers.
Yeah.
We know that much.
This really seems to be part of the... union bashing Republican agenda. And I suppose President Obama had good reasons to sign on to this, but here's the thing. People are so concerned about Mexicans coming into this country to get away from the horrific conditions in Mexico with virtually no environmental standards or labor standards, and all the money is concentrated in the hands of a few.
Right.
It seems to me the Republicans' goal is to turn us into Mexico. So it's not... they'd have no reason to come here anymore. Good plan! But the main thing, of course, is all the money being concentrated in a few hands, which increasingly is the case here.
Right,
They seem to be interested in destroying the middle class.
Because they want all the money for themselves.
Yep.
And they don't want to work for it.
And those damn unions.
They get in the way.
There was an article the other day. The public employees are now the new welfare queens and Cadillacs.
Yeah.
Which is a term coined by the sainted Ronald Reagan in 1976 during his first run.
That's right.
For the presidency.
Well, there they go. All those welfare queens and Cadillacs.
Yeah.
taking their welfare checks and buying Cadillacs and mansions, and, well, that's where your money's going.
Right.
Yeah. And we have our first Jim personation of the morning.
Well, there I go again.
Yeah, I know. I'm just really uncomfortable with the anointing of Ronald Reagan again.
Well, sure. But,
you know, showing how he was really a progressive.
Right. Yeah. Well, during the week of his 100th, what would have been his 100th birthday, we outlined everything.
Right.
Pretty much showed that he was a progressive
compared to what we have now.
Compared to the image that the people on the right are portraying Reagan as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just ignore the parts they don't like.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of rallies, we have Liz in Wisconsin. She attended one of the union rallies in Wisconsin. Hey, Liz, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, Mook's doing a great job filling in for our snappy today.
Well, we got 7 minutes down.
We have a lot more to go.
Well, I've got long stories about what's happening here in Madison.
What's going on?
I go every day at lunchtime, and I go and I walk around with signs, and my sign is really important because it says, this is not a protest. This is a movement.
Yep. Yes.
This is a movement to save the middle class of America, mm-hmm. and I want everyone to understand this. I walk around with signs all day at lunch. I stay out there for 4 hours. This weekend, I wasn't able to see Michael Moore, but it is online, and I suggest everyone take a quick peek at that. And, people say that the news said that Michael Moore rallied Madison this weekend, and I'm like, no, we rallied him.
Yeah.
We are rallying the United States of America, and mm-hmm. you guys have got to get on board. This is it is so unbelievable. I had the most emotional time. I walked into my Capitol, and I'm going to be like Stephanie last week, and I'll try not to cry.
Aww.
But I walked into my Capitol, and I was searched, which was fine. Mm. I don't care. My Capitol is so beautiful, I wanted to be inside there.
Sure.
And I started to bawl, and the cop that was, going over me said, oh, sweetie, we're just so glad you're here for us. I mean, this is a movement.
Yeah. The cops are union members, too.
And just so you know, Scott Walker does not have the support. I was at a rally to welcome his bus home on Sunday, and the big bus came up, those million-dollar big giant buses,
mm-hmm.
right? Scott Walker, on the side. And there were three people on the bus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the people that Scott Walker bussed in were way outnumbered by the mm-hmm. by the members of the movement.
It wasn't just Madison. It's not just Madison liberals. Everywhere he went across the state, he was met with 2-4-1 protests for his people. He had Joe the Plumber. I'm not kidding you. He had Joe the Plumber.
Wow.
And that's all he could cough up?
As if the people in Madison were going to fall for Joe the Plumber.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So we're smart, we are strong, and we are exhausted. You guys have to help us. You have to keep this up.
We are.
Anywhere you see it, you fight it.
Yep.
It's the home of the labor movement. We owe this 7-day work week, weekends.
Yeah. Well, 5-day work week.
I know, Jim. You know what I mean.
We all go to Madison.
I want to say that I am a stay-at-home mom. I am not a union worker, but I am smart. I am educated. I understand what this battle is about.
Right.
And we are going to let everyone. Mainstream media is not covering this.
I know.
Go on the internet. Search it out. Find Twitter. We need to, do what they did in Egypt, and I'm all for it, and I've got to get back and keep up the fight.
Thanks a lot, Liz.
Thanks, Liz, for calling in and letting us know what's been going on this weekend.
Keep up the good work.
I love you guys.
Love you, too.
Love you back. That was incredible.
Yeah.
No, it's I knew the Republicans were going to overreach.
Yep.
It's, they were so arrogant when they came in. And the people have spoken. The people said, because the Tea Partiers were just angry about something.
Right, and the economy was really, really bad, so they just voted for something different.
Right.
But mm-hmm. And now they see what we're getting from
their
voting.
Their solution is to blame working people for the whole problem and put them out of work, destroy the unions, and funnel more money to the top 0.1%.
And people aren't falling for it.
They're finally getting it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Janet in Tucson wants to talk about unions.
Hey, Janet.
There she is. Okay. Hello.
I want to give a shout out to your last caller, Liz. I'm also in chat, and a shout out to chat. Yay, us. Great people, great people, and really terrific that, that you put that out there.
Yeah, and okay, well, so, first I want to say that chat has moved to a new URL address.
Mm.
Yeah, you can now find it at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. So just go to ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. You can chat and see Jim and me do the show today and watch the carnage.
And might I say, you both look lovely this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I went through a whole bottle of Visine this morning. So.
And the MOOC taking on the chat, or I'm sorry, on the show. Good for you guys.
Great.
What you can do behind Stephanie's back. But my point is this, that our economy has been built and has been sustained on union wages, the success of the middle class, which leads me to, and we will falter if that falls apart.
Absolutely.
And my second, that leads me to my second point, which is teachers, education. It's the one place our children have to go every day, and that's to school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity we cannot ignore. So that, and I'm going to, like, do an official cheerleader. Yay, Obama.
Yay.
I love the man. So there's at you, Mooks.
All right.
I'll throw one in for Stephanie.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Janet, for calling. Now, I want to talk to Bill in Illinois. He has a little bit of a different view about Obama regarding the Mexican trucks. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, no step for hell there today to have Obama's back. But, I think that it's a terrible idea. You know, labor came out, supported this guy. We did everything we could. I'm a union guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knocked on doors. We sent him money. We did everything. He's been totally silent, you know, on just about every issue we've confronted. And now he's actively working against us on this truck driver deal. That's going to, you know, kill jobs. It's just a bad deal all the way up.
Yeah, it's sort of NAFTA squared.
Yeah.
I suppose you could argue that he's trying to force the Republicans to overstep even more so that there'll be more of the sort of thing we're seeing in Madison against them. But I just don't know. He just keeps moving further and further to the right and giving more and more concessions. And I don't see how that can end well.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing that chess and checkers thing for 2 years.
It's just,
you know, it's nothing but checkers, and he's playing with his buddies on the right.
It's all going to be Chinese checkers soon.
Exactly.
They're going to take it all.
Hey,
George Collins said.
All right. All right, Bill, thanks for calling.
Thanks,
appreciate it. Yeah. Well, we do need to take a break.
Hey, a break.
Yay, a break. Thank God. All right, so give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12, 1-800-STEPH-12, or you can view us online at our new Ustream chat. That's ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Jim and Chris will be right back here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, now with 100% less Stephanie.
Yeah, 100% less estrogen.
Yeah.
Jim and Chris here hosting the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph called in sick just before the show was supposed to start. And so
well, thank God we're playing all the hits.
Yes, all the hep the kids are listening to nowadays. Yeah, so give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12, that's 1-800-STEPH-12. Mm-hmm. Also view us online at our new Ustream channel, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
And there we are, on TV.
Hi there.
In a bar. No, that's... I feel like I'm in a bar. Or like
look
I'm
at you! You have a baby! In a bar!
In a tavern! Oh, my God, a tavern! Mary in Seattle wants to talk about an article in Mother Jones about the economy. Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Actually, it's in San Francisco, and it's the official independent bookseller of the Stephanie Miller
Show. Okay.
And I was at work yesterday and looking over Mother Jones, as I am wont to do, and their cover article is The Vampire Economy. Check it out, kids. It's got all the statistics
for
you.
I blame Kristen Stewart.
It's about the complete takeover of our economy by a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population. And reading it over will lead you to the inescapable conclusion that the corporate agenda is going to lead to a two-class system, just like they have in Mexico.
Exactly.
And on an ironic note, they built that silly fence down there in Mexico, and splitting people's property in Brownville. So some of these people have found themselves on the Mexican side rather than the United States side, which makes it extremely awkward, I would imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine.
To and from your job.
Awkward.
Talk about a date with a TSA agent every freaking day.
Yeah.
So I have to go out to the pasture, pat you down. So anyway, it's really kind of frightening. I mean, they've been bleeding us absolutely dry for the last, 30, 40, 50 years. And I think the reason they're moving against the labor unions, I think this was actually a little early. I don't think they were planning on doing it quite this soon. I think they were waiting to get a Republican in next time and then kind of go full strength on it. But I think that some serious scary rumblings are happening in the economy, and they're kind of thinking, well, we better get going on this right now because we may not have time. And there's definitely something going on. I don't know if maybe China's calling in its debt or, whatever, but there's some reason why they're jumping the gun a little here. And people better fight against this, because it's not about the unions, really. It's about grabbing the last big chunk of money that's left, which is actually Social Security. And it's just, there it is. It's the enormous chunk of money. It's the only chunk of money they can get their hands on, and they want to funnel it into Wall Street because they funneled every single thing else into Wall Street.
That's right.
And that's where all the money went.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
And
bye.
I'm really depressed now.
Why would you be depressed?
But on the bright side, those people who found themselves stuck on the other side of the wall in Mexico will be happy to learn that the United States is becoming exactly like Mexico, so it doesn't make any difference
which
side of the fence you're on.
You know what? Jeff in Salem, Mass. It says that Joe the plumber is jumping the shark. Hey, Jeff.
Well, morning, Mooks. Thanks so much for plowing through this. This is great, and you guys are great. We don't need Steph, and it's clear that your nefarious plan to take over the show is working. It seems to me, they bring up, I didn't even know Joe the Plumber had been made an appearance this morning. And it seems like, that's their jumping the shark. And I can only imagine, when they're resorting to bringing out their moldy oldies, their greatest hits, we're going to see a series of greatest hits, and including probably, this is what I hear through the grapevine, there's going to be a life-size marionette of Ronald Reagan, and somebody's going to be up there doing Ronald Reagan, and everybody's going to get sucked in. I'm only kidding. But it would not surprise. This is their moldy oldies greatest hits. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing. Keep up the good work, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it so much.
Bye. Maybe they'll bring back Joe McCarthy. While they're at it.
Yeah.
I have a list of 100 communists in the government. Well, Glenn Beck has sort of taken over that job.
Yeah. Well, who's taken over that job is Representative Peter King of New York.
Right.
He's having these hearings on Islamists.
Right.
Are you now or have you ever been an Islamist?
Right. And Sharia law. It's a huge problem.
That is some scary-ass stuff going on. It's the new McCarthyism.
And that's why schools are suffering, because ignorant people are easier to control, and they'll buy stuff like that.
Exactly.
So, of course, they go after education.
And he's even calling people to testify who are just, run-of-the-mill, followers of Islam.
Or maybe those Christians who let Muslims pray with them in their church.
Coptic Christians.
Coptic Christians, yes, right. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Let's see. What do we got?
Yeah, we just have a little bit of time left. Let's go to Linda in Asheville. Linda, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning. You guys are doing great. The good thing about, the truck thing is that the people who are on the other side in Brownsville, who are on the Mexican border, they can now hitch a ride in with the trucks.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, I know that Stephanie's an Obama apologist, but I lay so much of this at the feet of Obama.
if he had just followed FDR's plan, if he had just done what I thought a Democrat was supposed to do, which was to return the wealth that had already been redistributed through like a financial stock transaction tax, none of this stuff would be happening across the country. I'm from North Carolina, and we have a thank God we have a Democratic governor.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, you get some good leadership there in North Carolina. We're about ready to take a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Jim and Chris will be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, this'll never work. But when you're doing it with
Stephanie Miller,
you just can't help smiling.
Especially if you got an onion on your belt.
Well, we've always depended upon the kindness of strangers here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
We're out on the veranda with our mint julep.
And Stephanie Miller Show, sans Stephanie Miller.
Yeah,
she called in sick just before the show, so it's
great.
Jim and Chris filling in.
And coming to the rescue to help us out is our pal David Bender.
He knows a lot about politics and stuff. Hey, David.
Stella! What are you thinking about, Pearl Queens? I've been on to you from the start.
Hey, David.
Let me stack a bottle.
Here's the thing. I was expecting imitations, but here's what I'm surprised at, guys. If you're going to depose a leader, and you know, sadly, Hosni Miller, now gone, we understand that she's, you know, off in that you know, holiday in Europe where she's getting the treatment. We get that.
Well, we know she's not on a boat.
Yeah, we know she's on a boat. But Jim, you can do her voice.
Ooh.
This can be seamless. No one needs to know.
Well, if you listen to earlier recordings of her voice has dropped a couple of octaves. So
yeah,
she's
that is true.
Getting close to my range.
Menopause will do that to you.
it's that testosterone, you know, shuffle that we all get to do. So listen, guys, it's going great. I wanted to raise the estrogen level, which is why I thought I'd call. And here's the deal. Do you know what's going on? I mean, you buried the lead. There's so much news going on. Do you know that Sarah Palin is now in a shooting war with Kathy Griffin? Do you know this?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
About Bristol?
Doesn't get any better than that. Sarah Palin apparently finally said, you know, Kathy, if I can take it, if you want to come up to Alaska and take me on, but leave my children alone. And she's invited Kathy Griffin up to Alaska for a throwdown.
That's a battle of wits with an unarmed person.
I think Kathy is one to take on this challenge.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
She's going to eat her lunch.
And you know, I can't believe that we're seeing coverage of Tripoli. We're seeing coverage of Wisconsin. This is the big story.
Yeah, well, that and Charlie Sheen.
That and Charlie Sheen. And Charlie Sheen had his radio debut this weekend, right?
Yes, he actually did a podcast. And you know what? Here, I pulled this for Stephanie, but here's a little bit
winning.
Of it.
Duh.
Yeah, here's a little bit of it.
RQ, when you hear fastball, you know that, like, that the warlock, that the machine is about to roll out some gold. It's about to, like, educate you, your children, and, like, all those little diaper wearers down the road.
Wow.
What is that?
Exactly.
It was Charlie Sheen at some point, but it's...
Oh, my.
Yeah, here's another clip of it.
They say let go of your resentments. I say hang on to those resentments. Let them be the rocket fuel that lives in the tip of your saber.
Wow. Mixed metaphor much?
Yeah.
Or cocktails. you know, it is interesting. Stephanie is not here. Charlie's radio show podcast debuted this weekend. Can we connect up the dots? Are there people, conspiracists out there who can figure out what is really going on here?
No, I see no connection.
We talked about this about Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
It is sad to watch a human being have a public meltdown.
Yeah.
But the truth is, and there was a piece in the New York Times that Tom Arnold, my old friend Tom Arnold, who has done a lot of you know, sort of compassionate work with people in the public eye, trying to help them get treatment, went to people around Charlie, unnamed folks, and they would not help. It's, I think it's today's New York Times saying, you know, this guy is making us a ton of money. I can't put my career at risk. Mm. And that's what's happened. There's a wall around this guy. Now, I don't know whether it's still there because the show is ostensibly over, but this is what happens in a situation like this. You can't get someone help if they are protected by people who have cash registers surrounding them.
Exactly.
But they shot themselves in the foot because the show is pretty much dead now, and all the people associated with the show were now out of work.
Yeah.
That's the real tragedy.
Can a show like that go on without Charlie Sheen? I mean, the show was built around Charlie Sheen's persona.
And you know who they're talking about, right? John Stamos.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I've heard about him. Uncle Jesse.
To the rescue. I mean, it becomes a parody. I mean, you know, look, he's done a guest spot on Glee. Actually, it turns out, you know, he
was good on Glee.
Dance.
Yeah.
But
he played drums for the Beach Boys. He went on tour with the Beach Boys.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Have you ever seen the Beach Boys on tour, guys?
I actually, when Kokomo was a big hit, I actually saw them in concert, yes.
Here's what they do. It's really interesting. It's kind of Spinal Tap-ish. They put a glass wall around the drummer. And the idea is that, you know, because these delicate vocal harmonies could be affected by the drumming, they wall off the drummer. I think it's actually kind of like an Eichmann glass booth, you know, where they're keeping the drummer in there,
right.
And eventually he'll be exterminated. And I digress. The real question is, can a show like this survive without Charlie Sheen? Maybe, but really, where does Charlie Sheen go now? Didn't Howard Stern give him this channel? Isn't that how this happened?
It's a Charlie Sheen channel on Sirius XM, but he also has a Ustream channel. That's where he did his podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Howard Stern apparently offered this channel. He went on Jimmy Kimmel and said,
yep.
Look, I own two channels, 24/7. We're just going to put the mics in your house, Charlie, and anytime you're awake, wait for it, 3 in the morning, you can walk up to the microphone and do your show. And that's apparently what he agreed to. And you know, it gives new meaning to the idea of 24/7 news. I mean, this just in from Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, 24/7 breakdown. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like watching, you know, a slow-speed car wreck.
And look, I want to say it one more time. I feel, you know, Martin Sheen is someone who I have I don't know Charlie. I do know Martin.
Right.
And this is a guy who has got to be in tremendous anguish.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
Anybody who loves someone who has had a mental illness, who has had challenges like this, has to be sympathetic, has to know what the friends and loved ones are going through right now. And, you know, even now, I'm ambivalent because some of it is funny. Charlie is saying I'm drug-free, this isn't it, and he may well be drug-free. But
yeah.
Clearly something is going wrong in a way that although you can't help but look at it like a traffic accident, like
right.
the slow-speed car crash, you also want to try and do something to stop it.
And
I don't know what that is. I mean, maybe it's what they did with Sarah Palin. Stop talking about her. And maybe she does go away.
That's true. You know, it's like when Anna Nicole Smith had that reality show. You know, and Stephanie keeps saying this. You just want, you know, the camera person to put down the camera and help her.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I just want the people around Charlie Sheen to just, you know, stop looking at him as a cash register and help him.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be helped.
No.
That's the problem.
And at the end of the day, short of intervention, which you can see on A&E.
Yeah, All-Star Edition of Intervention.
Right. You can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped, and that's and it is a circular problem. But look, enough about Charlie Sheen.
Yep.
Let's talk about someone with, you know, obvious mental health, and that would be Newt Gingrich.
Yes. Now, is he officially the first person to announce that he may be running?
He's announced a website,
right.
guys. This is
an incoherent website.
Well, an incoherent website, which, of course, you know, is a perfect metaphor.
Yeah.
The truth of what he is doing, and actually Rachel Maddow, who I can now talk about with you, because, you know, when I talk about her with Stephanie, it's awful. Fur flies. It's terrible. Here's the truth. Newt Gingrich is a money machine.
Yes.
Newt Gingrich has been making money for 10 years, showing just enough Newt ankle. Oh, God. First Barbara Walters naked, now Newt's ankle. The only way he can continue to make that money is by not complying with federal regulations, which kick in the minute he says, I formed an exploratory committee.
I see.
Then
right.
He's kicked off the network. Then he can't do certain things. Then he has to,
like, appear on Fox.
Yeah, and so he is keeping this money machine going by announcing a website, which anybody can do, we can do.
Sure.
GoNewt.com. Check it out. What he is doing tonight is they have the first forum. I mean, what is it now? It's March.
Mm-hmm.
10 months before the Iowa caucuses, the first forum in Des Moines is tonight.
Right.
And it's Newt, it's T-Paw, Tim Pawlenty,
mm-hmm.
and Rick Santorum.
Wow. Okay. That's a motley crew. Now, by this time before the 2008 election, hadn't two people already announced that they were going to run? Are we a little late in getting some candidates on board?
Well, I'm trying to remember when Obama came in. I seem to think it was February of 2007.
Okay.
So you're right. I think that's right. The people have been in.
Right.
Are we late? The difference is, you know, there's an incumbent here. People.
Right.
It is a little bit different than what we went through last time, where it was, you know, a wide open field. Look. The problem now is I am fully expecting that there will be people who are announcing for 2016 any minute.
Yes.
That's really what's happened. And the problem with our system is that there is no downtime. Nobody stops to govern anymore. It is perpetual
right.
campaigning. Scott Walker's on a bus. That's his old campaign bus.
Yeah.
they never put. Nobody ever stops doing what they have to do to get reelected, and you know that's why it's broken. It has nothing to do with either party. It's the machine itself.
Hopefully, Walker will be on the recall bus sometime soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and look, I want to shout out to our friends in Madison, and of course, it is absolutely true that everybody can help. You can go on websites. You can show support. But and a lot of people like Michael Moore just got up and went to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
This is a moment. People will remember that this was happening. Anyone who was there comes away, and you had a caller earlier talking about how emotional it was. Michael Moore said the same thing. It's not just what's going on in the Capitol. You walk through the streets, and you go away from the Capitol, and you see people's signs in everybody's windows. You don't see this on television.
Right.
But everybody is supporting this, and that is how movements get started.
Right.
And it takes time, but it is building and building and building, and we're all a part of it.
Yep.
We're all Madisonites now.
It's re-energizing the labor movement.
And it's a real grassroots movement, unlike the Tea Party thing.
Exactly.
Which is
that was manufactured.
Exactly.
David Bender, thank you so much for calling in. We got to take a break.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right, and we will talk to you again on Thursday when Steph is better.
Go Mooks!
Yeah! Thank you, David Bender. We will talk to you later. And we are going to be taking a break right now. Give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Right Wing World is next.
Whee!
Right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Can't get enough of those disco strings.
Hey!
Wah-wah
I love
pedal.
Disco, and I hear it's making a comeback. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim and Chris are hosting today because Stephanie called in sick just before the start of the show.
A likely story.
Well, she did sound like crap.
Okay.
Well. So, and she did, on Friday, she had a sore throat, and she was fighting it off, and she's been fighting it off all weekend. Okay. And finally wrestled her to the ground and...
strangle her.
Yeah, exactly. So she called in sick.
Sitting on her chest right now.
But we got Edie McClurg coming in with us to sit in with us for Monday McClurg next hour. So be sure
Fantastic.
And stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, we got Bill. He's in Madison. He was at Michael Moore's speech this weekend. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Hey, Jim. Hi, Chris. You're doing a great job there. Yeah, the Michael Moore thing. Quick comment on that. Then I had the new conspiracy theory here at the Capitol, the $7.5 million graffiti conspiracy.
Oh.
Anyway, Michael Moore, that caller that said the video should be checked out. That's absolutely true. One thing he said was he commented on the three big lies. He said that Wisconsin is not broke. Or Wisconsin is broke. That's the first lie. There were WMDs in Iraq, second lie, and the Packers can't win without Brett Favre. It was a third big lie. Now, the conspiracy theory, the Fox News video showed a few seconds of a local TV news feed and said that there's this horrible defacing and graffiti in the Capitol, and how could the protesters do that to their building?
And in fact, they didn't.
No, they didn't. Media Matters has already called this out, but I was down there. I walked around to see what they were probably showing, and you know, there's two black lines in the video, and they claim this is a graffiti. And if that's graffiti, it's the weirdest graffiti because I don't get the message of two black lines that are 6 to 8 inches long. Turns out it was two cables set up for the media by the Capitol people, and there's duct tape holding it down. The video actually shows a yellow piece of tape that says cable on it.
Yeah,
and some of the black marks they were trying to examine on the floor are right nearby. I think that was from duct tape that the Capitol used to put things down on the floor. I never saw a single sign taped to the floor in the Capitol.
Yeah.
But, of course, now Breitbart picked it up with his big, ugly government.
And he lied about it like Breitbart is wont to do.
Oh, and he was here in Madison. I didn't realize that the weekend that the Tea Party, the 2000, I guess, they had a big crowd here, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess Breitbart was here. I didn't realize that. He's a native Wisconsinite. Who knew?
Who knew? And now he's a tool.
And what? Why is...
yeah.
All right.
So you guys keep up with the message. It's great.
Okay, Bill. Thanks for calling in and giving us the update.
Why is Breitbart even a factor anymore? Shouldn't he be in prison or something? I mean,
well, yeah, especially for the Shirley Sherrod crap that he that he put out there. He edited the Shirley Sherrod tape to make it look like she was something she was not.
That's libelous.
That is, and I think a lawsuit is actually pending.
That time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think Joe the Plumber jumped the shark.
Exactly. All right, let's jump into some right-wing world.
Wee! Sit right up, get your Republican talking points, get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this close to go on this ride.
How we did that.
Yeah. Haven't heard that in a long time.
Golden oldie.
Exactly. All right, David Horowitz was on Glenn Beck's television program talking about the First Amendment.
And the greatest bulwark against a totalitarian future is the First Amendment, which is under assault at the UN globally by the Islamists who want to make any criticism of Islamic terror blasphemy and outlawed. And domestically, by the left and its doctrine of political correctness, they will shut down your free speech. That's what's happening in Wisconsin.
I think they are trying to nullify a
vote and to nullify a legislature.
Wait a minute.
First Amendment? What?
So
whose First Amendment rights are being violated? How?
I think he was just trying to formulate a sentence to try and get the word Islamists in there along with Wisconsin protesters.
Right. Psyops.
To tie those two together.
I think you're right.
In the Fox viewer's brain.
Right.
David Horowitz isn't stupid. He knows how to use psyops, and that's exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we are calling him out on it here on the Stephanie Miller
Newscast. Hey, that's a first.
All right, Steve Ducey and Gretchen Carlson of Fox and Freaks.
Can't wait.
Talking about the job numbers, which came out on Friday.
We got a Fox News alert. The job numbers for February have just come out. The unemployment rate is now 8.9%.
Wow, that's great.
And 192,000 jobs were created, and that is a little better than expected.
It's good news because of the tax cuts, ostensibly, which is bad news for the president moving forward if he doesn't want to continue tax cuts.
What does that
have tax cuts
do with
had nothing to do with job growth.
But especially job growth from the numbers last week. Gretchen Carlson is stupid.
What a dope.
Good God.
Well, I knew they were going to try to give the Republicans credit somehow.
Yeah, they're going to try and turn it into something bad for the president.
Yeah.
But
all these things have a bit of lag time.
Exactly.
Things happen, and then weeks, months later, you see the effects.
But Gretchen Carlson is depending on Gretchen Carlson is depending on the stupidity of the average Fox viewer to not tie those two together.
Well, she's not smart enough to think that far ahead.
Former beauty queen Gretchen Carlson. Yeah. All right, Jonathan Honig. Of Fox News, a little bug-eyed.
You smell like honey.
Yeah, a little bug-eyed freak. He's talking about the rich, or the ones who create wealth.
There's a difference between cash and wealth. Wealth is the product, of course, of man's capacity to think. The rich are exactly the ones who create that wealth. It's not stuffed under the mattress. It's invested in products and plants and bonds and new companies. It's making those jobs. It's creating that wealth. It's not redistributed from those who've earned it to those who have not. Wealthy earners should pay even less. The poor should pay much more.
It's invested in the stock market and in jobs overseas.
Did you hear him at the end? He said the wealthy should pay less taxes and the poor
should
pay
more.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He has no idea how economics works.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
You can't get blood from a stone.
Exactly. Well, that does it for this hour. We're going to be coming back next hour with Edie McClurg and Mondays with McClurg. So you want to stay tuned for that. This is Jim and Chris filling in for Stephanie on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is The Stephanie Miller Show, and this is obviously not Stephanie Miller.
Boy, has her voice gotten deep.
Yes, wow, that... That menopause is really kicking in. Now, this is Jim and Chris. We are filling in for Stephanie. She called in sick just before the show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pulling up the slack, but luckily we have...
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
Edie McClurg.
Thank you for coming in and saving us, Edie.
Oh, I wish you didn't think of me as your little savior. Think of me as a little helper. How's that?
Yeah, well, we appreciate that.
Okay.
Give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Or you could see us at our brand new Ustream channel. That's ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
I'm watching it right now.
Are you?
And I'm looking at the chat room there. It moves by so fast, it's making my head spin.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but they're all saying hi, Jim.
Hello.
Yes.
Someone will call in and chant Revolution for me. The song?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Wow.
Well, Edie, what's been going on?
Well, I know you've already talked about this somewhat, but Michael Moore is just, I'm a big fan of
him. Yeah, absolutely.
And all of his documentaries that he's done, you know, people say, oh, so biased. I said, well, what about all of the right-wing biased reporting?
Yep.
Why not have somebody who's a little more...
Fair and balanced?
Yeah.
Well, we get, it's a coin of phrase.
We get nothing but the corporate messaging now from everywhere. I mean, I can't watch regular news anymore.
No, not at all. And especially, he went to Madison, which a lot of people give lip service, but he went with his feet.
He absolutely did. And you can see his speech if you go to michaelmoore.com. Mm.
Yes, I have it here, and it's just wonderful. And I do urge people to go to michaelmoore.com and read what he has to say about being there and being with the people. And some people say, oh, he makes so much money off of his stuff, you know, and it's just like, how about all the other people on the other side making a lot of money with their stuff?
But it's only when liberals make money that suddenly it's a problem.
It's stinky. It's icky. It's bad.
Well, they think it's like hypocritical or something.
Right.
That we're telling everybody else to be poor, but yet we're... You know, getting rich, but
he's still wearing his jeans and jean jacket and his old ratty hat. And it's not a put on or a
Right, that's device. That's the way he normally dresses.
That's the way he's comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, more power to him. Love him for that.
And when he did Sicko, it just really cemented my ardor about him because he reported on, you know, people in Kansas City mm-hmm. whose insurance was taken away mm-hmm. just as they had a life-threatening illness.
Yep.
And, you know, they were doomed to die because of their...
It's just what Alan Grayson said. The Republican plan is die and die quickly. And that's exactly...
Oh, for God's sake, just die!
That's their health plan. Yes. All right, Carol in Wisconsin was at the rallies this weekend. Hey, Carol, how you doing?
Yes, I was in Little Eau Claire, but it's not that small. It has the University of Wisconsin.
Right.
In the middle,
I
right
know
in
Eau Claire. I have relatives. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. And we've had pretty bad coverage of how it was there because there were at least 1,500 people out on in the cold, in the snow, holding signs, screaming and yelling. And the Scott Walker bus pulls up, and the only person that got off of it was Joe the plumber.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So then after I went and took a video of it, and then I decided, well, I'm going to walk in there because they said you need a pass to get into the Scott Walker thing. So I walked in to see if I could get in, which I walked right in, and it's a little conference room that was full. So maybe 100 to 125 people were there. And a nice man said to me, can I help you? And I said, well, not really. I just came in to see how many fools were in here. And
oh,
he said, we have a big crowd. And I said, oh, no, you don't. The big crowd is outside.
That's right.
It was. It was just amazing. So I really live in a small town north of there called Chippewa Falls where they make Line and Kugel beer.
Sure. All right. Love me some Line and Kugel.
Yes. Lainey's. And okay, starting Monday through Friday, starting today at 5 o'clock in front of the Chippewa County Courthouse, people are going to gather and do walking on the street with their protest signs up and down the main drag just to put a little bit of local protest in. And I just wanted to get that message out.
All right.
If you're in Chippewa Falls, come join us.
Absolutely.
Please. And someone will ship them some Lainey's to go with all the pizza.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call, Carol, and thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate it. Lynn, what's that?
It's like listening to my family talk. All my Minnesota and Wisconsin family.
Aw. Linda's in Madison. She was there at the protest on Saturday. Hey, Linda.
Good morning.
How were the rallies?
Well, amazing, fantastic, outstanding. Words just don't put a match to it. It was just amazing seeing all those people there. And from all over the country, I might add, firefighters from New York City were there, people from Ohio, Illinois, all over the place. It's just amazing the support we are receiving. But like they said, it's not a Wisconsin thing.
Right.
It's a national thing.
It absolutely is.
And tons of signs for Feingold for governor were there. That was amazing. But this whole movement is just outstanding. And we do have a lot of recalls going for several Republican senators because I know we only need to get three of them out, three of them who only got in by the skin of their teeth.
Right.
So they'll be gone. Walker will be gone by January. He's already halfway out because they can't really officially take him out till January, but then he'll be gone.
But people are already starting to do the behind-the-scenes work that's necessary.
Yes, they are.
Good.
Petitions are out there and stuff. And then we, I had a friend of mine who did go to that governor's so-called Tea Party thing, and it was so scant that they can't hold a candle to us.
Yeah, and Fox News was saying that it was a huge rally.
Maybe 50 people if they were lucky.
Really?
They practically had to buy those people in there.
they probably gave people different hats so they could shoot them over and over again.
They
look like different people.
You guys are doing a fantastic job. You're doing Miss Stephanie. But and luckily I had the day off today, which I hardly ever get a Monday off. So that worked out great. But you guys are doing a fantastic job. You're doing Miss Stephanie, but she's got you guys. We got you guys, too. So
all right.
Keep it up. We love you intensely. Thank you so much for the national coverage. We appreciate it. But like they said, it's not just a Wisconsin thing. It's an American thing.
It absolutely is.
Keep our middle class going, and these rallies and these moments are just amazing and very, very peaceful. All the cops who were there were shaking their hands, hugging us, taking pictures with us. It was just, it's
that's
amazing.
Great.
So thank you very much, guys, and keep it up.
All right. Thanks for calling, Linda. See, that's the way that protest should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they shouldn't be angry or anything. And they're not angry. And so we're not giving Fox News.
Fox News keeps trying to.
They're trying to manufacture some anger.
Right. And look at that kid with a sign. Look at him just shoving it in this guy's face.
Yeah.
If there was one citation given to a woman who spit on a 10-year-old boy who had a sign that said, what was something about the unions?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so it was like a Tea Party or spitting
yes.
on a
right.
on
a kid.
On a child.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Although someone was...
Union busting is disgusting or something like that, he said. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so she spit on him.
Someone on our side was arrested for unplugging the Fox News truck.
Well, that's just a prank. That's okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a misdemeanor, though. So it's nothing as horrible as spitting.
Yeah, sure. She could be diseased.
Yeah.
She probably is.
Exactly.
She's probably a vampire.
Yeah. All right, Stephanie Madison is calling in. She was at the rallies with Michael Moore. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for being on the air, even if you felt uncomfortable for a while without Steffi there.
Did it sound uncomfortable?
Yeah, it is. A little uneasy, but, you know,
yeah.
I love you guys, and thank you for being there for us. And, you know, there's no one that's angry out here. We're screaming, we're protesting, we're laughing, we're crying, but there's no meanness going on here. And Jesse Jackson, I just want to say a shout-out to him again. He came again on Friday and talked in front of our city-county building, and that was just spectacular and very moving, and it just helped. And Michael Moore, I had no idea. I'm standing there, and all of a sudden he comes on, and his speech was so helpful, and he's not our movement. We are the movement, but he came to speak on behalf of our movement, and I'm sorry, it was just wonderful. You know, he had a screaming, laughing, crying, and everything, and it was just wonderful. And the New York cops, they're just amazing. And all the big union guys, they're so sweet, and they're so adorable. And I will fight for all of their causes until my last breath. I mean, I don't care if I ever get my voice back. I mean, this is just crazy what they're doing around the nation. And anyway, Feingold for governor. So that's what I say.
Feingold for governor, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, you sound like you need a hug.
I don't know. I'm so exhausted.
We're putting our arms around you right now.
Right now. We're giving you a giant hug, Stephanie.
Our arms are 2,000 miles long right now. So
you guys give them to everybody that has showed up every day or whenever they can just to make their own signs, to yell out, you know, what's disgusting union busting. We have the best protest songs, and we don't care if we have our voices. We have our signs when we can't speak. This is wrong, and this guy has got to go. So
Yep. That's
what I say. But I love you guys. Oh. Love you. And Steffi, get well. We need her voice, too.
Yep, we certainly do. And I think she'll be back tomorrow. All right, Stephanie.
Great.
Thanks
love
for calling in. We appreciate it. Oh, Stephanie's awesome. I think that's like the second show in a row that she's cried.
Yeah.
she called in on Friday and cried too, but we love her for that. All right, it's 17 after the hour. You are listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie is not here, so Jim, Chris, and Edie McClurg are filling in for her. And we want you to give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Or view us on our brand new Ustream channel, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Jim, are you voguing?
I'm voguing.
On camera?
Yeah.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie is out sick this morning, so
yes,
Jim.
I think that was an overhead block.
Yeah. It's Jim, Chris, and Edie McClurg.
Yes, and I'm using my
Clear Channel Kleenex.
Clear Channel Kleenex, which is all connected.
Yeah,
it's a very long stream.
It has perforations and quilts.
Yes.
All right. Give us a call. 1-800.
So bears won't have little things sticking to their butts.
Right.
Yeah. Commercials. Yeah.
Well,
give us a call.
So 1-800.
No ordinary bear.
1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Or you can see us and chat with us at our brand new Ustream channel. That's ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Now let's go to Art in Chicago. He's a Republican. Hey, Art.
Hey, good morning, sir.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Is it, am I talking to Jim or?
That's
Eddie?
Chris. I'm
Jim's
Chris.
Here too. Yes.
Oh, and
okay.
So is Edie.
Well, anyway, I just want to bring the conversation. Illinois is $300 billion in a hole.
So are many
and
states.
Wisconsin is the same thing.
So are many.
And we're talking to. Can I talk?
Art. So are many states with Republican governors and Republican mm-hmm. legislatures.
Okay. Okay. Okay, we're going to try to straighten it up, but not in Illinois. Now,
A lot of right-to-work states. A lot of right-to-work states.
Wait
are
a minute. Whoa. This is your station. If you want me to talk, I'll talk. If not, I'll shut up.
Okay.
You want to come out of the land of Oz? Let's face
the hell are you talking about, Art?
I'm talking about the debt we're in, Wisconsin.
And
Illinois,
many other states.
Illinois, we've had he wants 66% income tax increase. I just come out of the gas station, $4 a gallon.
We're paying that here in California,
we're
too.
We're paying more
That's
than
right.
that here in
okay.
California.
But a big sign at the gas station, thank you, Mr. Obama. Okay? Now, number two, those guys that left Indiana, left Wisconsin to come to Illinois, we don't want them guys. We want Walker to come so he can straighten this state out. We need some help, people.
And by helping you destroying the unions.
AARP people are screaming they need help when they're taxed. I just got a 60% increase in my real estate tax because of the schools. Now you tell me where the hell this, what's happening here? And you guys are keep talking of union busting. We're not union
yes,
busting.
Yes, you are. You most
man.
Certainly are.
I'm a union man.
Well,
I gotta pay those taxes.
So you're fighting
teachers.
Against your own best interests, Art.
No,
do you understand? Yes,
because
you are.
Those are people that are getting from the government, from the taxpayers.
They are taxpayers.
They are taxpayers.
Yes, they are.
My taxes, though.
What?
They
and your are, taxes and their yeah. taxes,
well,
Art.
Well, they're in the Bahamas. I'm in my back.
Who's in the Bahamas?
Yes.
Who's in the Bahamas?
Teachers. I know these teachers.
Oh, they're right.
All right, you know what? Art, I'm not going to let you lie on
these
Stephanie
Miller
show.
$17,000 a year. $17,000. You know, and they have kids. Come on. The Bahamas. Maybe Rihanna's in the Bahamas.
Yeah, well, yeah.
With her umbrella, Ella.
All right, Vince in California has something to say for Stephanie. Hey, Vince.
Hey, yeah, hey, I've been listening all morning. I don't think I've heard one person. I know Stephanie called in sick at the last moment. Nobody said, get well quick, Steph. How are you? Oh, no.
Well, that's because she's not here.
She must be listening, though.
I don't think so.
If not, she has the podcast available.
Right.
She could hear the records.
A lot of people in the chat room have said, get well, Steph. A lot of people on her Facebook page have said that.
Okay. You should have one segment now. You got to go back at least once a show to We're Not Going to Take It. The bumper.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. And every time you play the clip out of Steffi's box, oh my God. Sounds like Debbie Stabenow.
Oh my God.
Sounds like Debbie Stabenow, really? Why does that.
Who's Debbie Stabenow?
Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan?
Yeah, our wonderful representative in the House.
Senator? Not in the House, in the Senate.
In the Senate, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I was thinking in Congress,
right.
Senate and the House are part of those.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thanks, Vince. Don't know exactly what that was about. Okay, let's go to Connie in Wisconsin. Hey, Connie.
Hi. I'd like to address an issue that I never hear much about in the media, and it's our losing of our mass transit system.
Mm. Oh, you mean the high-speed rail?
No.
No,
I mean like Madison Metro, the bus systems in these cities. If Governor Walker signs this bill, because in order to get our federal transit aid, these employees have to be represented, like a union representative.
Right.
And if he busts the unions, there will be no mass transit in these cities.
Oh, wow.
Madison Metro will be gone.
Right.
as well as the other cities that have public transit.
Right. And so once again, it sounds like Governor Walker is paying more attention to the rich people than the poor people who depend on mass transit.
I don't take the bus, so why should I let anyone else take the bus?
Yeah.
It's too expensive.
Have you ever?
We have a deficit.
Yeah.
Well,
bite me. Yeah, exactly. You know, poor people depend on bus service to get around and get to work. And
except here. Well, no, they do here too. But
no, I've actually taken the bus here in Los Angeles.
What?
Yes, no, I know. But I know. Have you, Edie?
Yes, I have.
Have you really?
Yes, I have.
I even took our subway once.
Oh, I'm afraid to go down
Center.
In the subway.
No, the subways here in Los Angeles are actually beautiful.
They just don't go anywhere.
They're underground, though.
They're underground.
Well,
they're
yes,
far
that would
underground.
Be the sub part. Subterranean.
Yes, but the thing is that I'm afraid of Mr.
Earthquakes.
Earthquake.
Mr. Earthquake, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Because I'm from a flat area of the middle of the country.
an area of the country that gets earthquakes.
Yes.
Thanks to the New Madrid
New
fault.
New Madrid fault has
oh,
been acting
the New
up
New Madrid,
lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. They're expecting a devastating earthquake sometime in the near future.
Bad
there.
News for yep. St. Louis. And
yeah. But Kansas City's on the other side of the state from St. Louis.
Yes.
Yes, all right. We're about ready to take a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Jim, Chris, and Edie McClurg filling in for the sick Stephanie Miller. She should be back tomorrow. In the meantime, you can give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm sick.
What, do you have a cough due to cold?
She does.
Yes. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim, Chris, and Edie McClurg are
100% less Stephanie.
That's right. We're all filling in for Stephanie while she recovers from the ick or whatever
the
she
ick.
Got.
That's the technical term.
Yeah, exactly. So give us a call at
1-800-24-hour ick.
Right. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Or you could look at us do the show on the video at our new Ustream channel. That's ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Yes. Now, Edie, you came across something about people who have gone insane this week.
Well, yes, people who've gone too far this week. A lovely Huffington Post has a psychometer.
Okay.
where they let us know about Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
Thinks President Obama grew up in Kenya.
That's right.
Mm.
And he's one of the top GOP frontrunners for president.
Kenya, Hawaii, what's the difference?
And he's also taking Natalie Portman to task for having a baby out of wedlock.
Having my baby.
And so he's going all Murphy Brown on her.
Oh, man.
And we saw what that did for Dan Quayle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the tomatoes.
Exactly.
Was it potato?
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Right.
Potato-y.
Now, the Texas governor, Rick Perry, called Juarez the most dangerous city in America.
In America.
That might be true, but Juarez is still in Mexico.
Yeah, last time I checked.
Yeah.
It's in the North American continent.
Sure, barely.
And we don't need to mention John Galliano. He's just.
Oh, those are some vile things he said.
Well, he was totally plot style his ass.
Isn't that liqueur that no one drinks?
Galliano, that you make a Harvey Wallbanger out of?
Oh, okay. Really? Is that what goes into a Harvey Wallbanger?
Hmm. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
It's like licorice?
I've never had it. All I know is that my parents had a bottle of Galliano, and
it stayed there forever.
It stayed there. Yeah.
It was like a lava lamp. It just kind of sat there in the corner.
Right. I don't know if Galliano goes bad or what. Obviously, it does. Galliano does go bad.
The Westboro Baptist Church?
Yeah.
Still affirming that they have a right to protest soldiers' funerals.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I hate to say this, but
they do.
I think they do. I mean, as vile as it is.
Yes.
I'm a big free speech guy because that's the industry I work in. And
they have
the right to say that, and we have the right
to call them out on it. But the Nazis were given the right to march through Skokie, which is where a lot of Holocaust survivors.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
It'd be hypocritical to deny them their right to express what they, probably shouldn't say think. That's a little.
Yeah,
too complimentary.
Exactly.
A knee-jerk react.
Yeah. What do you think about that Supreme Court decision, Edie?
Well, it is true that free speech is free speech.
Yeah. Vile speech is equally protected.
It's equally protected, yes.
I know. It pains me to say that, but I think the Supreme Court did a solid.
Scott Walker, he's now trying to blame the state's economic woes on public employees.
Right.
Yeah.
That they have such high wages.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Living a high life on the 17 grand a year.
They have low wages that they negotiated in return for a much
benefits.
More comfortable retirement.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what went on there. Yeah.
And now they want to take away the retirement.
The retirement that they were promised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the sack lunches that they've been carrying all those years, you know, to their little jobs.
Right.
Welfare queens with sack lunches.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
With another Jim impersonation. Thank you.
Well, there they go again.
Now, have I been behind because now Gaddafi, mm-hmm. who we called Gaddafi.
A
kajillion years.
A kajillion.
Let's call the whole thing off.
What? I don't understand.
It's an approximation of Arabic.
Yeah, it's an approximation of the Arabic pronunciation.
Yeah.
Is it the guttural k?
Yeah.
Well, there are different k sounds, I think, in Arabic.
Right.
One is usually indicated by Q.
Right. It's a name that doesn't exist in the English language, so we just have to approximate it.
Okay.
And so that's why there's not an agreed spelling of his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's the same thing we went through in the 80s.
And with Russian as well. Gorbachev, Gorbachev, you know, it's an approximation of the Cyrillic alphabet.
Yep.
I love his Cyrillic reference. And what else can be said? Charlie Sheen took an overdose of Charlie Sheen.
Yes, he did. And maybe Stephanie Miller did, too, and that's why she's not here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Party, winning. Party.
All right. Let's go to Ed in Madison. He wants to respond to Art, or I believe. Hey, Ed.
Oh. Good morning, Mooks and Mookettes.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to point out that Art is either blissfully ignorant or confused. It's a revenue issue that we're facing. We've got lack of revenue in this country, primarily because Republican administrations, starting with Reagan, have allowed corporations to move overseas and get away from paying taxes, mm-hmm. and actually encouraged it by giving tax credits for that. So if he's so, you know, high and mighty on paying into schools, having a problem with that, maybe he should look at the source of the problem, which is actually a lack of revenue.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right.
You know, so
the super rich not paying their taxes.
That. All right. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Oh, it's those teachers. That's what done it. They're union people. They took away all of our money, and now I got to pay property taxes? Just for schools?
Art sounded
for somebody else's kids? Get off my lawn, all of you.
Art sounded like the stereotype of a bitter, angry old man.
He did.
Bless his heart.
Well, all right. I'm pretty sure you're going to take the onion off my belt.
All right.
And pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Let's go to Kelly in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. She's been receiving some Republican robocalls up there. Hey, Kelly.
Good morning. Can I be the official veterinarian of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Thank you. Yeah.
We needed one.
Thank you. You can call anytime with your veterinary questions.
Oh, thank you.
I've been up at the Capitol every Saturday for the last 3 to 4 weeks, and I tell you, having grown up in Madison on the west side, going to public schools, this is a wonderful community, and Wisconsin is a great state. And we really take this personally. This is not our Wisconsin. What Governor Walker is trying to do is reprehensible.
Yeah.
It really is, and it comes to our gut. Our bellies are on fire, and I think it's the Galliano tequila sunrise that did it to me.
Bring it back to Galliano.
Yeah, that was not a good night for me, and I've never had it. So, but I received on my answering machine a robocall the other day, and there was this menacing screams and almost kind of like background noise from a zombie movie saying that the union thugs are coming to get you. And it was, I just couldn't stand it, thinking, you know, you've got to be kidding me. But, you know, with that is the image of me up in the Capitol 2 weekends ago when there were 100,000 people holding hands with strangers singing God Bless America.
Oh.
And about the only violent rhetoric or the violence that I saw, and this is one of the most disturbing posters that I saw, and I'd love to send it to you. I took a picture of it. Is there were some like 12, 13-year-old kids that were standing on top of a monument or something on the Capitol, you know, pro-Walker. And I hate to say that, but they were definitely future rednecks of the world. Right. And the one 13-year-old boy, and we had, I had my great niece down there 4.5 years old, but his picture was a stick figure of a boy, with a gun shooting a donkey in the neck and blood spurting out.
Oh my God.
That, you know, when you talk about violence and what Fox News is trying to portray, and I saw that, I said, that spoke 1,000 words right there. And, you know, I don't know where these kids came from, but, you know, they were few and far between. But to have that kind of image in the hands of somebody so young was extremely disturbing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took a picture just, you know, as a reminder.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if you could send it to Stephanie at stephaniemiller.com, we'd be happy to post it up on our website.
Okay, great. I'll also send my minion sign, my Assemble the Minions.
Yes. All right, Kelly. Thank you so much
you.
For calling in. Appreciate
okay.
it. Okay, let's go to Ike in Charleston. Hey, Ike.
Okay, come on now. Are you sure that art guy wasn't that Jeff Dunham guy, you know, doing his Walter puppet guy on the phone?
It was too good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, let me point something out for Art. Listen, Art, the top 1% in this country are controlling $48 trillion worth of wealth that they don't want to pay tax on. And yet, you know what? The Republicans aren't all bad. They're trying to create jobs. They've got 2 unfunded wars that we've been fighting for 10 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now they want to spend money to bomb people in Libya. So that's their kind of job program. What do you think, Art? Do you think that maybe your money's being misspent and maybe you think your loyalties are in the wrong place? Well, let me tell you something, pal. You know what? Whether it's the space program or anything else great that's been done in this country to this point, it was all done with publicly educated students. So you need to knock it off, buddy.
Absolutely.
Well, I think you're a communist. I blame Sputnik.
All right. Really good points, Ike. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Wendy in Chicago. She wants to talk about the rallies in Wisconsin. Hey, Wendy.
Good morning. My brother is a school principal up in Rice Lake, Wisconsin.
Aww.
And Edie, you probably know that's about an hour north of Eau Claire.
Oh, yeah, Eau Claire, uh-huh.
And unfortunately, he took a poop on my progressive rainbow this weekend. We both grew up in a very progressive household. In fact, in the 72 election, my mother had me use McGovern buttons for a snowman's eyes. So, no joke, that's the background I come from. So I was talking with him because I'm still in Chicago. He works up in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. And I said, well, how's it going as a school principal right now? Because, you know, we in Chicago, we're following the Wisconsin 14. We're supporting them down here. And he said, Wendy, unfortunately, you know, we're all rallying about workers' rights, and it's all very important stuff. He goes, but I just wish that months ago, people in my state and people in my town of 9,000 people had paid attention to this freaking election. He said, because as a school principal right now in Wisconsin, it's not so easy. He goes, we are championing and supporting the senators in Illinois right now. He goes, but the problem is, I have, in a town of 9,000 people, a $2.6 billion budget shortfall that I have to fix.
Right.
And he goes, if the governors come back and do vote for what, quote-unquote, the budget relief bill, he goes, then most of the, because of the provisions in that bill, most of the hardship, he goes, falls on the unions and the teachers, unfortunately. He goes, but there's a no-win situation going on, because the longer those senators stay in Illinois, I still have to cut 2.6 mil from my budget and of 9,000 people in this town. And he said, when I have to cut this from this small school district with no voting on this bill, it comes straight out of the classroom. So he goes, I, by the end of the year, I'm going to have to create a school district where there's going to be 40 kids in the classroom, and anything that's not mandated has to be cut. He goes, so, and what frustrates him so much is he goes, I know, living in this small town, driving around, I know I had employees in my school building that voted for this bozo because they weren't paying paying attention, and they bought the David Koch or Koch Brothers sponsored Hyatt.
Exactly.
And he goes,
they fell victim to the Tea Party.
Absolutely. And he goes, those are the ones now. And he goes, at least a couple I know in my school, when they took the teacher sick days, he goes, they went down to rally in Madison. And he goes, I was furious because I said, I did not vote for Scott Walker. But we have such a fundamental problem. He goes, the person you voted for has put me as a school principal in this no-win situation. So he said, Wendy, I hope the only silver lining we have from this is that people are now awake, paying attention, and that next year when we can recall this guy, I can start to redo
absolutely
the huge damage that's
absolutely
been.
And I think the sleeping beast has been awoken. People are fighting for their rights in Wisconsin like we haven't seen in a long, long time, and I'm really happy for them. All right, we're going to take a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim, Chris, and Edie McClurg are filling in for an ailing Stephanie Miller. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The lyricist union's on strike.
Yeah. Jim, Chris, and Edie McClurg filling in for an ailing Stephanie Miller. She will be back tomorrow. And on tomorrow's show, we're going to be having Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America. The Rude Pundit joins us tomorrow. Also, former Representative Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania will be joining us, as well as our Tuesday pal, Charlie Pierce. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. It's going to be an extravaganza. Absolutely. All right, we got Mary in Madison, Wisconsin, wants to talk about recalling governors or senators. Hey, Mary.
Yeah, hi. The recall process for the Wisconsin 8, there's an actual website that I'm going to encourage people to go to because they can contribute money towards the cause. It's called Recall the Wisconsin Republican 8. And otherwise, you can go to Act Blue, their website. They're also associated with it. But they've already started the process to recall the 8 Wisconsin senators, and they only have 60 days from the date they started the process to collect all the signatures. So the clock is ticking to get these signatures in, but it's already in the works. And then once they collect these 60, or the after the time frame, then they have a recall election within 6 weeks.
Okay.
So the thing is this can really make a change soon, you know, in the whole process. So I would encourage people to do that. And just if I have a second for one other thing.
Sure.
I've been to protests all along. My husband's an official in the teachers union here in Madison and has been in it since the beginning. But just since the toll that it's taken on our family, his dad came down from Appleton to help protest with us. And we ended up admitting him after the Michael Moore to the hospital, the Michael Moore protest that he couldn't make because he got dizzy, and the doctors have assumed it's stress from all of this because, it means so much to him. He was a teacher, and he is a board member on the school board, and he helped get all the unions going for the teachers in Appleton. He's 75, and for him to see this possibly unravel is so stressful to him that we ended up, luckily we brought him home yesterday and he's fine, but and even in our own immediate family, with my husband being, he's a chemistry teacher, he's got a chemical engineering degree, and he teaches advanced chemistry at the high school, and we're worried that if this passes, he's going to lose his job because he's going to be targeted because he's head of the union. And so we are, you know, going into plan A, plan B. But, you know, what is it personally going to do to our lives? And which is, that's a reality of what this is doing. So we're out there. And I mean, when I saw Michael Moore come out. We went down to the fire station where he
And he just energized everybody?
Well, he just energized everybody. I mean, when we heard Michael Moore was here, and they asked us from MTI, the teachers union, they said, go down to the fire station down around the corner, and we're gathering people to march up with Michael Moore. And so we stood there, and we were thinking, is he really here? Is he really, is this one of these rumors, you know? And all this talk was going around as we're standing there waiting to start the march, a second march, because we'd already marched once around the Capitol,
right.
And they were like, okay, is this real? And then when he stepped out of the fire station, with the also one of the head of the with John Nichols and with the head of the teachers union, I just felt like, oh my God, this is real. I've been waiting for Michael Moore to show up.
Yeah.
I was going to email him and say, get over here.
Right.
Because
and
we,
you knew he
we
would.
Need you.
You knew
and
he
we,
would.
I knew eventually
yeah.
he would.
All right.
And it energized us.
Yep. All right, Mary. Well, thanks for your call and best to you and your family, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. And we got Chris in Wisconsin. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, you been at the rallies every single day?
Yes, I have. I've actually slept at the Capitol four times. I was one of the Capitol slobs that Mr. Erskine labeled us, and very proud to be a Capitol slob.
Yeah, and they moved you out at some point, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Actually, that night, my husband and I had left. We had been able to leave in the morning so
okay.
he could go to work and I could feed the animals. And we had left and got back in several times. The last night, we weren't able to get back in, though. They shut things down before we got there.
Yeah.
So we weren't there when they actually removed them. What
okay.
I really wanted to call you about, though, is I am very concerned. This bill is being put forth to the people as just about union busting. That is not what this is about. It is about unions. It is going to bust the unions, and I am a total supporter of the unions. My bigger fear, though, is all the other things that were buried in this bill that I don't think are really getting the national news coverage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we only have about 30 seconds left, so give us two of them.
Okay, two of them. They are cutting off all funding, all public funding to all state aid to our public schools.
Yeah.
And they're going to take out an additional $200 million in loans.
Oh, my God.
And can I just real quickly put this in through?
Real quick.
Okay, for the right wing, anybody that's got these right wing Uber guys out there,
yep.
please look at your legislation because they're sneaking all kinds of things through and they're really dismantling government.
Yep. Absolutely, and that's more of a reason to vote Democratic in November and whenever you can. Absolutely. Well, Edie McClurg, thank you so much for joining us today. You didn't
yes.
have
saved
to,
our
but
ass.
You did. You saved our ass.
The mooks. The mooks.
All right. And Stephanie should be back tomorrow, so be sure and tune in then. You've been listening to Steph, Jim, not Steph.
No, not
Jim,
Steph.
Chris, and Edie on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Get well, Steph.